Hi guys, I'm André Villas-Boas, listening to Echoes of Glory. And don't forget, whatever happens, the future's bright, future's lily white. Come on, you Spurs.
Hello and welcome to Echoes of Glory, Season 12, Episode 24. I'm ASD.
And I'm Rob.
And we can talk about Southampton Spurs. It was 3-3, pathetic. We should not be losing a 3-1 winning position against that team who haven't scored at home. I think they've scored 10 goals at home all season. I think it's less than that, but what a disgrace that was. But the main thing we're here to talk about is that press conference, I think. And he has gone hard. So for those of you who haven't heard it, so he basically said, look, it's Tottenham. He's saying, Tottenham's story is this, 20 years there is this owner and they've never won something. Why? The fault is only for the club. Or for every manager that stay here. I've seen the managers that Tottenham had on the bench. You risk to disrupt the figure of the manager and protect this other situation every moment. Until now, I tried to hide the situation, but not now because, I repeat, I don't want to see what I've seen today because this is unacceptable and also unacceptable to the fans. Not only the club, the manager and the staff, the players have to be involved in this situation because it is time to change the situation if Tottenham want to change. If they want to continue this way, they can change the manager. A lot of managers, the situation cannot change. Maybe previously in other games, something can change. But here we're used to it for a long time. The club has the responsibility for the transfer market. Every coach that stayed here has the responsibility. And the players? Where are the players? In my experience, I can tell you that if you want to be competitive, if you want to fight, you have to improve this aspect. And this aspect, I can tell you, in this moment is really, really low. And I see only 11 players that play for themselves. And someone asked him, why? And he said, because they are used to it here. They are used to it. They don't play for something important here. They don't play under pressure. They don't want to play under stress. We are 11 players that go into the pitch. I see selfish players. I see players that don't want to help each other and don't put their heart in. I'm not used to this position. I'm really upset and everyone has to take their responsibility. Bloody hell. What's your first reaction?
So he's admitting that he can't make players better then. Is that what he's doing? That's what I hear. I mean, sorry, go ahead. Go on,
well,
mate, sorry.
Yeah, he's saying there's a bunch of players who don't play to win anything. And it's so hard because you can see his point of view, but
yeah,
you just go back to what is his job? What is his job?
I should apologize in advance that even more so than normal, I'm going to be like a meandering river with Spurs going off it, going left and right. And like, what actually is this guy's point of view? Because I'm so confused in some ways about my own feelings about what he said. Because on the one hand, I think that Tottenham is a big club in this country. It behaves in most things like it's a big club, I think. Maybe not in the transfer market. It's expensive. They charge a lot to go and see them. And I think because they charge a lot to go and see them, and I think they charge a lot in order also to support them, like, you know, 80 quid for the shirts and everything else that goes with it. I think because of that and because of the investment that they're making and everything else that the fans put into the club, even though the reality of fan contributions to the club is quite small, I think financially, I think we all saw the power of the fans over football teams with the European Super League and stuff like that. The fans really matter, and where they charge so much for the games and for the privilege of supporting them, I don't think it's unreasonable that we have an expectation that they incrementally improve year on year and try and win stuff. I don't think if you support Spurs, you should be going into it with the same ambition, with all due respect, than if you support Palace or if you support, I don't know, West Ham. Or, and it's not about Palace or West Ham, they're great clubs in their own right, but like, it's Tottenham, and they are, and over the last 20 years they have been a top six side. In recent years they've been a top four side, and it's expensive and they charge a lot, and I think that we have a right to expect success. And so therefore I have some empathy with his anger, and I think I've said on here before that there's a core spine in that team, and I don't just mean the spine through the middle, but like the experienced spine of Kane, Son, Højbjerg, Dier, Lloris, Davis, I've probably missed a couple, that time and time and time and time again do not show up when the chips are, when they are really up against the wall. Where yesterday was, I mean, they sat really deep and there was big analysis on Match of the Day about it and everything. But where was Kane or Dier or like who was getting them together and going, like, lads, like sorting it out? Who stepped up? No one stepped up. That's what I saw. There were no leaders in that team yet again. And I don't know, maybe they were coached to do it or whatever it was, as they were talking about yesterday, but there were no leaders in that team. And I've had enough of watching that core group of six or seven players, you know, going back to 16-17, the semi-final defeats, the Champions League defeat, getting knocked out of the FA Cups when they got knocked out of the FA Cups. I've said this time and time again that other than that little run last season where they made top four, where I really didn't think that they would, I think when they've had those must-win situations or they've really been up against it, more often than not, they fold. I knew it was going to be 3-3 yesterday. You just knew it, didn't you? So I've absolutely had enough of that. And I share his anger. But he's paid 15 million a season. The football has been shit this season. Those first half performances, week after week after week after week, that is coaching. They are playing like that because they're being told to play like that. The players have not improved from last season. None of them have improved. And ultimately, that is on him. And he's paid a lot of money. The third highest paid manager in the league. And the team's gone backwards. And all he seems to do is complain that they haven't progressed in the way that he wants them to progress when it's his responsibility to make them progress. And I am sick to death of hearing him complain about things that ultimately he's supposed to fix. But the last thing is, and this is why I'm really torn about it, is I actually was really angry with him for daring to speak about my club, our club, like that. I'd support Spurs if they went down. I'd support Spurs if they went down two leagues. I'd support Spurs if they finished 18th, and I moan about it like hell, but they're my club. Don't talk about my club like that. You'll pay 15 million a year to improve it, and you have failed. So leave, take your money, and you know what? We'll try again. And so, yeah, I was angry at the performance. I was angry at with the empathy that I felt with what he said. And at the same time, I found myself really protective of this thing that I love, because who the hell does this bloke think he is? You know, it was his job to fix it. I was rambling. That's how I feel about it.
With a lot of good points there. You don't talk like that in public, because maybe there is a lot of problems there. We can all see there's a core of players who've been there just too long. And they need refreshing. And Kane doesn't turn up in the big games. He's been in finals for us, didn't turn up. I mean, doesn't score in many knockout games of the Champions League. I'm sure someone will come back to me, but he doesn't. He scored one against Dortmund, if I remember. Really didn't score against City, did he? Didn't score against Ajax, although he was injured. Didn't turn up in this year's Champions League, let's say. I think he scored 2 out of our 8. Poor. And he's meant to be the one. And it's fine doing it in the Premier League all the time. And obviously that is an incredible achievement. And he's the best thing that's happened to us in a long time.
Yeah.
But we need those players who fight. Richarlison was crying because he couldn't play. That is the core. Him, Romero, Porro. That's the future. All South Americans. But that's the future of this team, right?
Yeah.
And your point on the money, I can't go because it's so expensive. But I just can't go. I've got young kids. I'm at the bottom of that U curve of happiness, all of that. And you're so right, because we were talking just before we started recording about the difference between the football team and the club, right? We support the club. The football team will change. The kits will change. It'll be shit every year because they always are. That away kit, that one that looks like a wetsuit, is horrendous.
It's
I don't know, right? And they still have the balls to charge us £70 for it. Like,
yeah.
They must know that people have a connection to kits and have great memories. Like, if you think about the away in Amsterdam, you can picture that kit. That was a great kit. If we had played in the kit I'm talking about, that purple orange one, it would have made those pictures look shitter. A bit like Messi wearing that Warriors costume that they gave to him just before he lifted the World Cup. It looks a little bit shitter than if he was just wearing just a great kit. You know what I'm saying? But it made me think about there's a connection between the football, the club and the fans, right? And the reason we support Spurs is because of the history of the club, because of our connection to the club. And there's something that we cannot get rid of for a start. I wish I could have a lobotomy at times. But there's something about, there's a history of the club. There's a reason I love the club. Like I took my wife's family is a Spurs supporting family, and I've told her many times that if she came from an Arsenal family, she would be a different person, not necessarily a worse person, definitely a worse person, but it just wouldn't be the same because there's something about Tottenham that I love. And we haven't won anything proper in 32 years, right? Really, we won the League Cup obviously in 2008, didn't count. That doesn't count. I won an FA Cup, I won a League Cup, something in Europe, not a League Cup, I won the League. And so if we're not about winning trophies now, which is a lot of people's lives, you know, people when they were cavemen didn't live until they were 32. This is the average human life expectancy thousands of years ago. If we're not about winning trophies and now we're not about playing with style, playing with just glory, what is the connection to that club? And what do they want us to keep on coming back from if they're not going to connect to our history, if they're not going to connect to what makes us want to follow the club, not the football team? What is there? Why do they want us to keep on paying these prices unless we're there to follow the individuals? I was thinking about, because Dele, the news about Dele in the week was horrendous, right? He's been dropped. He'll never play for his club in Turkey again, and he's going to go back to Everton. And the there's something going wrong there, and there is a massive similarity with Tottenham. We have taken the same nosedive. Yeah, there may be performance financially, there may be performance that we qualify for the Champions League, but what has happened to the club? Like, it's closer to Everton. Like, the heart of the club has been destroyed, and it's going to take a long, long time to repair. What is there? We are a mid-table club with two strikers who overperform consistently. One's underperforming, and we're struggling. The only reason we're in fourth now is because we're two or three games ahead of those behind us. Brighton will overtake us. Brighton looked great against Grimsby, admittedly against Grimsby earlier. They'll overtake us. United are there. Liverpool will overtake us. And that will be what we deserve. It's going to take a long time.
And I do think there is a connection between, a really big connection between the money that it now costs and the sacrifices that people that support the team, whether they go or not, have to make, and how that team performs. The game in terms of the connection between the team and the fans has changed, I think. When if I think back to when I was in my 20s or something, or maybe even earlier than that, watching the team, and you know, you had Gazza, you had Lineker in that era. But the rest of the team was honestly pretty average. And, you know, we had a go. We won. We did okay. But the connection was because it was fun. The football was fun. It was expensive, but not massively expensive. It was like a fiver to go in the Paxton or something back in those days. You can imagine that. I was standing there at ASD. That's how old I am. And and so it was like, I really wanted them to win, and I went to watch them win. But it was more than that. It was about my mates, and it was about the beers that I had beforehand, and then it was about the food that we had after, and the football was part of it. But it was a laugh, and we had a great time. And then when I got older, me and my dad started to go, and you know, it was about our journey to the games together and the chats that we'd have, and like, that's the club is the thing that brings people together. And then the whole thing just like gets mixed up into one. I don't know if you remember the video that was released when they moved out of the lane. There was this really, really brilliant, like, 30-minute film. I can't remember the name. Yeah,
Kenneth Branagh.
It was brilliant. What a film that is. And anyone that hasn't seen it, it'll be on YouTube. Go and find it. And yeah, there were shots of Greaves and all these other things and the goals and everything. But ultimately, what really comes out of that film is that the club is the thing that interconnects people together. And it's part of it, but it's not all of it. And I think of Spurs and I think of my dad and I think of my friends and I think of the laughs that I've had and I think of the games and I think of the players and the goals and the disappointments and. But now, £3,000 a year or whatever it is, I mean, some ridiculous. My friend Simon, they were trying to charge him £5,000 a year, mm-hmm. and he was like, "See ya, I'll move to a cheaper seat." Mine's nothing like that. Thank God, well, I couldn't go. But it's become so expensive. Like people, you can't go. So you can't say to your mates, why don't we go up the, you know, we'll get the bus up there. We need a tenner. You've got to be a member. But, you know, we'll go. It'll be all right. It will cost you. I used to bottle up in a pub and that was enough to get me to a game and get me there and back. And all of that has gone. And in the Premier League, it hasn't completely gone, but it's largely gone with these really, really big teams. And so, therefore, with the big teams, they've got to win. You've got to improve incrementally year on year on year on year. And you've got to show that the sacrifices that people are now massively making at Spurs, when I think a season ticket at Man United is still a few hundred quid, I don't think that it's apples for apples. I think a season ticket at City is a few hundred quid. I don't think it's £3,000 or £4,000 like it is at Spurs. I'm sure there are expensive ones at City, but you can get one for a few hundred quid is the point I'm making. The game is like, you can't have a community atmosphere of a football club. You can't have that togetherness that people have, that connection that people have with the players on the pitch, the win, lose or draw, we're in it. Come on, lads. We try really hard. When you're charging people £2,000 a year as a minimum to go to the games, when you're doing that, even though it's only 2% of your net revenue, you've got to incrementally improve the team year on year on year. And so therefore, the whole dynamic of the whole thing and the connection that you're talking about, that we're talking about, that we feel with the club, I'm honestly starting to wonder whether it's going. I heard someone else talk about this recently, but the Champions League game against Milan, I had the same thing happen to me that this I heard this guy talking about. I'm a season ticket holder in 416, which is like North West stand, and you have to buy your ticket for the Champions League games. You have like the cup scheme.
Yeah.
And I bought my ticket in my seat, and everybody around me was different.
It was different.
People that had season ticket holders, everyone around me is a season ticket holder, and all the season ticket holders around me, they all didn't go to that game. I'm talking 10 seats either side of me, the people that sit in front of me.
That is mad, isn't it?
There was no one there that I recognised for a quarter final of the Champions League knockout final. Game. I was there on my own. And I'm like, and that really got me thinking, like, yeah, because it's, yeah, like, what was I doing there? I can't afford to go there. I've paid enough. And so, but it was sold out. And it sold out between now and the end of the season. So I don't know how to kind of connect with that anymore. And I don't know why I'm bothering. I love it. And I love the club. And I will always love the club. But I can't continue to feel like when I hand over for me and my sons my X number of pounds a year, I can't continue to feel that I'm basically being mugged, which is what I feel like at the moment, because I don't think that they care about delivering an incremental improvement for me somehow, yet again, finding that money to go and watch the team. They don't care. And I'm really sad about that.
It is sad. And yeah. The feeling you get, that there is a feeling that I think is irreplaceable. I don't know whether it's there's definitely a male thing where it's one of the few places where you can get your emotions out. There's a sense of connection to your family, to where your father was saying what he was seeing. You're seeing the future, but there's a connection there. But they know that. And that is what they're trying to pull out of you. They're turning your wallet inside out just to keep that, and then to give Levy a £500,000 or however much it was pay rise this year. Because success isn't what we want it to be. It's not style. And he promised that he would be bringing back the expansive, youth-focused, youth-developing, attacking football.
DNA. Didn't he call it Tottenham DNA? Isn't that what
Tottenham
he said?
DNA.
3 months before he appointed Nuno.
Nuno. Then he appointed Conte. Yeah. And then he gave himself a £500,000 bonus, or whatever it was.
Because they finished top four.
Because they finished top four.
And won nothing.
And we used to make fun of Arsenal for this. And now look at us. You know?
And you have to ask yourself, the people that are running the club, and I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago on the pod, and one of my rants is when Levy and the board sit down and talk about success at the start of a season or the start of a financial year for the following season, are they talking about, like, we need to go and win a trophy? Like, how do we build a team to really try and finish, you know, realistically top four in the Premier League and win the FA Cup? How do we do that? Or are they talking about Marshall? Are they talking about we really need to close the Formula One deal? Are they talking about NFL rights? Are they talking about getting the Jacksonville Jaguars playing NFL at Spurs, which the guy was pictured sat next to Levy the other day, wasn't he? Like, it's confusing. And the football club is only part. It's the bit that brings everyone together. It's the bit everyone talks about. It's the bit that's famous. But the football club is only part of the club. It's only part of the club. And it just feels like that the football part of the club is perhaps not as important to the club. I'm not saying it isn't important, but it's perhaps not as important as it could be. And when you look at other clubs, even the big clubs, I think that the football is the most important thing. Take Real Madrid. Football is the most important thing to Real Madrid. Football is even Man United, the most important thing. I don't think it's the most important thing to Spurs. I think it's one of the important things. Yeah. And that leads us to talk about the thing that Conte was talking about, which is the culture of that club. And because I don't believe the players don't go out there and try. I don't believe Harry Kane doesn't go on the pitch and try and work hard. I don't believe Højbjerg doesn't try. I don't believe the players don't try. But there is something inherent in that club that just means that they aren't that ruthless assassin mentality that he and other successful managers talk about. I was looking at, I was reminding myself, no point going back in recent years, 2000, and I think 2003, 4, when we were 3-0 up against City in the Cup, lost team that day, Kelleher, Richards, Gardner, Ziga, Dalmat, King, Brown, Davis, Postiga. Remember him? Didn't wear shin pads, did he? And Keane. And that was 20 years ago, 22 years ago, 5-3 against Man United when we were 3-0 up half time. Unbelievable, right? That's just mentality. You just crumble. Team that day, Perry, Tirico, Richards, King, Hoyer, Freund, Ziga, Anderton, Ferdinand, Sheringham. I mean, Man United's team, I won't read it out. It was unbelievable. But that is a solid team. But it's just the mentality of the team. They just cut the club. This has been going on for years and years and years. This is not the current group of players. This is not the current management team. This has been going on for years, that they cannot get over the line in semi-finals. They cannot get over the line. And you just have to ask, like, why is that? It has to be. It's got to be something ingrained in the culture in that club, in the focus of that club, that everybody isn't singularly fixated on getting over the line. They don't want it enough. That's what I think.
Well, that's it. So I've had to rebuild the team, as you very well know. I've had to rebuild the team over the last six months. Team that was a bit broken, wrong focuses, and I'm a big one for culture. And the way I focus on culture is because we see a lot of culture We work in a very stressful industry, and so there's a lot of culture where people just talk about stuff. And I've always hated that, because culture always comes out when you see in actions, right? I believe culture is what you allow, as well as what you promote and what you say. But it's also, and the key point is, what I know, what my core beliefs are, what your core beliefs are, and that we both know that we believe and we want the same thing. That is a core thing, and that does not exist at that club, because, as you say, the football seems to have a minimum floor rather than aiming for the highest ceiling. It is good enough that we achieve whatever. If they changed the money from that you get from the Champions League into the League Cup, if they swapped that around, we'd suddenly be going after the League Cup, and we wouldn't bother with the Champions League. And that is the wrong way around. And that is, that comes back to it, is that there is a minimum acceptability, which is purely financial. And there is a point where you go, well, you have a look at Leeds. Leeds were spent money, which they could only hit net zero if they won the Champions League. You know, you could fail like a club. There's clubs failing all around because of money, because of greed, and they're being stripped of assets. We are financially viable. We can succeed without being successful. And you go, what's
the... I don't think it's about spending money. I think it's about, I mean, they have to spend money, but I don't think it's about matching what Man City spend on fullbacks.
That's not what I was saying. No.
Yeah, it's not about, it's about spending money really well, but it's about deciding and being completely connected. I mean, Leicester City won the league. And Leicester City won the league with Ranieri as their manager. I mean, who am I to comment? But Ranieri feels to me like he's not a terribly good manager, and he comes across like he's, you know, a character. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And he won the league.
Yeah.
And he won the league because when they suddenly realised that they could actually win it, they got built momentum and blah blah blah. They were like, it was a goal. That's the goal we're going. And they were, there was nothing that was going to stop them getting in the way of that goal. And of course they beat us to that. Of course they did. Because they wanted it more than us. Of course they did. And yeah, that's got to be fixed. And that, to your point about the connectivity in a team, is Levy and Levy's goals for that club, for that football team, are those goals running inherently through, all the way through that team, all the way through all the teams, through the women's team, the men's team, the under-23s, the under-18, into the academy. Everybody there understands that they're there to deliver this vision, this thing that we're trying to become, which surely has to be around the football team and the football club, and ultimately delivering success for that club. Not financial success, that comes with it. Financial success comes with success. And yeah, and then secondly, making the manager, like Ferguson always used to say, the manager is the most important person in the club. And I think that stands to reason. Like, Guardiola is the most important person at Man City, or at least he seems to be. And therefore, don't make confusing, like what they've done with Conte is confusing. They've hired a manager that is known for being outspoken, a ruthless winner, committed, meant like just absolutely relentless, yeah, in his approach, that isn't going to improve players, that needs proven players. And they went and bought him, like, you know, 90% development players, maybe good ones, but that's what they deliver for him. So it's confusing. So why have they done that?
Yeah, we talked about that on the podcast. It was that exact thing when he came in. It was a very, very odd thing, because we're not going to spend the money for the players that he wants. It feels like the next one has to be, the next manager has to be that developmental one, the one that is a project that he's going to take. He's going to go out and say it's going to be 3 years. It's going to be, it's Udogi, it's Sarr, it's Romero. Now that's it's Richarlison. That's our focus, and we're going to rebuild the academy. We're going to bring more kids through, and we're just going to make it feel more like a football club again. And we're going to win things, but it won't happen today. Because it's not happening today with our great players. We haven't got hundreds of millions to go out and spend on Ireland and things like that. Your point on the club thing, it's so true. Like, the ethos is meant to be to dare is to do. And I've never been sure whether that makes grammatical sense. Mm. But to dare is to do. And it's not, that's not what we do. And I always remember the story, because when you talk about Real Madrid, I thought about Barcelona as well. And I thought about, you know, their thing is more than a club. And I remember this story about when Messi and Xavi were waiting in a room in like their reception. This was when they were at the peak, tiki-taka, and that, and a journalist walked through and they stood up, welcomed him, shook his hands, and then he just carried on walking, because that is the culture of that club. It is the team, it is the focus. And I just don't think we've got that. I just see them, it's too comfortable. It's too comfortable. I was listening to Tony Pulis on a podcast the other day, and I've always liked Pulis because you know what you get. When he was in charge of Stoke, they were the games, them and Chelsea, they were the two games I used to consider not buying tickets for, because you knew exactly what was going to happen. And it was awful football. It was, yep. They would waste so much time. It was so bad. Do you remember? I always remember this. It's the reason I remember it is because it was the game after the first leg away at Real Madrid where Lennon got sent off. Crouch got sent off. Lennon bottled it in the tunnel.
Yep.
And obviously, he's got his mental health problems. So I fully recognise that there may be reasons for whatever. Not whatever, I don't mean to be dismissive. You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying.
Then we played Stoke and we won. It was 3-2 at halftime. Matty Etherington scored a really amazing goal. I think Kenwyn Jones scored. Crouch scored two. And I can't remember who scored the other one. I might even have first half hat trick. That was the only Stoke game I've ever enjoyed. But anyway, Pulis came in and they were talking about players they had. And he just said, you just have to change your management style. You have to change your team to the players that you've got. And he just hasn't done that. He plays this attacking fullback system with a 35-year-old, with a 32-year-old, and Perisic, who is he played in the World Cup semi-final as an attacking left midfielder, not a fullback. He can't run up and down like he wants him to. That's the most demanding position in any team in the Premier League. And we got this old Croatian fella who, that's just not his job. It's not his job. And it should be someone like Sessegnon. That is his job. And he doesn't play him because he doesn't trust him. And maybe Sessegnon's played too many games or something, but change.
It doesn't. I think he doesn't trust him defensively, and I don't think he trusts him to stay fit, does he? But you can see when you actually do connect the decision to appoint a manager like that and then to invest in a player to give that manager that investment, how it could work. When you look at Porro, despite his awful start against Leicester away, he looks like he's a real player, doesn't he? He played well yesterday, scored a great goal. And particularly in the first half yesterday, I thought he played very well, actually, because he's exactly suited to that system. But why not then go and, like, they can afford to spend the money and get someone else? If Adoghi's that good, bring him back.
Just one player of the month.
He just won player of the month. He scored two or three goals, hasn't he? His last game, I looked at the stats. It was on Twitter, I think I saw it. Like, he looks a real player. And I know he's only 19, 20. And I suspect, defensively, he won't be trusted. I suspect that's what's going to happen. But if Conte was to stay there, but if that's what he needs and it's going to cost 5 minutes, then bring him back or go and find someone else and give him what you need. Don't. Why have we paid ultimately £30 million, allegedly, probably plus bonuses and everything else, for a manager that everybody knew was only going to be here for two seasons, and not then go on and invested the money to give him the players that he needs? We're going to go again in the summer to buy more Conte-type players. Conte's not going to be there. Sure. And my bet is, I had this bet with a mate of mine last night, and I kind of, you know, when you make those bets that you sort of don't mean.
You've got to stop doing this because you owe me. But you sort of. You're owing me a cup of tea, yeah. But
I owe you a tea. Yes. I'll bet you another cup of tea.
Yeah.
And I want everyone, if anyone's listening to this and they know me, I don't want to get like attacked in the street and stuff, that they appoint Tuchel. It's exactly the sort of thing they do. They'd say, do you know what? We've got the best centre forward in the world. We just recruited Romero. We need a new goalie. We just bought Porro. We've invested a shitload of money in that team. We've invested money in the team. The team's underperforming. The manager is the most important person in the club. Winner. We're going to go and get, we're not going to do it. We're not going to go and get the guy from Sporting Lisbon, who I love, by the way. What a, and he plays the same system. What a guy. He looks an amazing leader. Can't remember his name as ever. I can't remember anyone's name.
Ruben Amorim.
Him. They'll go and spend the money on Tuchel. I'm sure I'll be wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but that's the sort of thing that I think they'll go and do, because that's how they think. I don't want to have to spend time and get distracted from all this other stuff that I need to do by actually going granular on what we need to do in that club. I'm going to spend £20 million a season to put one of the world's best managers in there, because he, therefore, will make that team better. I'm going to take it out of my hands. Yeah, that's the sort of shit that they do.
I think they'll get a younger. I think they'll try and get the Pochettino mold, not Poch now.
Yeah, but he's not going there, is he? He's going to Madrid, isn't he? I think that's like my that. Bet. He'd be there by now. Yeah.
I think it'll either be Tuchel, right? And we'll have our next Chelsea manager again. I can't believe we're doing this. Or it will be a younger player, a younger manager, and it will be a project.
I'd love it to be a project. I really would. I'd love them in the summer, as much as I love these players. Nothing lasts forever. I'd love them to be like, right, son, thank you. You know, maybe even Harry. I don't know. I think Harry's a really difficult one, because you need three players if you let him go. But Lloris, thank you. Perisic, you know, appreciate it. Maybe even Højbjerg, like, let them go. And go and buy six or seven young players, and say to the fans, honestly, we're not going to put the prices up. Next year might be a little bit iffy, but this is what we're trying to do. I think everyone would go, yeah, I want to go. Let's go. I want to get behind those lads. Come on, lads. I want to get behind them. But I bet they don't, because that's not what they do now. No. Because they want to put the prices up.
There's no way they're buying seven.
No, six right. or seven. Of course.
After the bail money one. Because... I mean, of the bail money, who Lamella did okay. I was never his biggest fan.
Eriksson and Lamella.
Eriksson was the one. Yeah. I always like Chadli as well. But who else was it? It was Kirikez, Soldado.
Soldado.
What was the French one who went to Watford via PSG?
Capou. 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 He was one of the worst midfield players I've seen at Spurs.
You reckon?
He was awful, well, I thought.
What's your feelings on Sandro? I'm glad Jack's not here, because we can actually talk about him.
I remember him. Didn't he score some worldie from 35 yards once against Man United? And that was basically it, wasn't it?
I loved him. I thought he was super aggressive. It was almost weird.
He got stuck in.
He got injured against QPR away. I was there. It was the coldest match I've ever been to. And he just was never the same again. There's all those stories. He just had... character. We're missing a few characters, I feel.
In the midfield, Højbjerg should be the character, shouldn't he? It should be Højbjerg plays in the position where he should be at the when that second goal went in for Southampton yesterday. I wanted to see Højbjerg like get everyone together in the middle and go right, like, lad, come on, no more, don't sit deep, get front footed, like, someone lead that team.
Yeah, he's 80% there. In terms of, I bet he's a great role model, but there's a bit of aggression that's needed towards his own players.
Yeah.
I feel Dyer used to have that, but now it's turned inwards a little bit, and he's, I don't know.
I think Dyer comes across as a really good lad. I think Dyer comes across as a bit of a mentality monster, actually.
Yes.
I just don't think he's good enough. That's not my anymore. View.
He's half good at midfield, half good at defence, not really good. Good enough for either. But when you think of centre backs, you go, when we had Toby and Jan at the back, you just thought, right, like, it brilliant. We don't have that. Romero's there, but he needs a partner. And if he gets a partner, suddenly things will start to look a bit better.
He spoke well on social media after the game, Romero, yesterday, I thought.
If I was him, I'd be telling my manager, get me to Real Madrid, get me out of here, because I've just won the World Cup. I've got the most potential out of any defender in the world. Mm. Get me winning more trophies.
If they don't deliver top four, they'll be up against it. So if you had to put money on, then who do you think they'll go for? as a manager? I mean, but probably by the end of the week, right? I'm assuming.
I reckon he'll be there till the end of the year.
Conte.
I really do. Yeah, Conte. Yeah. And then I see it being a project-based manager. And I don't know enough. I think they'll find someone we won't even think of, like this Sporting fella. Maybe Zerbis or whatever his name is at Brighton. Someone like that. Like, not a big name, but just someone who's playing good football, who's developing players. Like Chelsea doing with Potter. And whether that's working out or not is a different thing. I mean, they've overinvested. Like, they've ruined it. They need to give him fewer players so he has to work with less and just do with what he's got. He's got too many options. That point about investment that he keeps, that's the thing Conte needs to stop talking about, is investment. Like, you can talk about investment all you want. You've had loads of money and you've had way more than Southampton. And if Southampton can come back from 3-1 down to a draw 3-3, it just undermines all of that argument. That drives me nuts.
Investment for what? So, I mean, one of the things that City do really well that I really like is they, like the Alvarez buy that they made. Like, Alvarez, what a player. I think Alvarez looks a real player. I know he was a little bit disappointed against us when we had him at the Spurs Stadium, but I think he looks a real player. When I've seen City on the telly this year and in the World Cup, and they went to South America, they found him, they bought him. He's a kid. He's, what is he, 20, 21? He's a baby. And Guardiola's going to develop him. If Spurs had gone and bought Alvarez, Conte, he wouldn't play him. He's not a ready-made player. So he wants investment in players he doesn't have to, basically in players he doesn't have to improve. He coaches them by drilling them to say, this is the 10-yard square, meet a square bit of the pitch that I demand that you stay in, and don't break my structure, don't break my system. This is the shape that you do. Well, okay, but he's a manager, isn't he? He's a coach, ex-player. He's meant to improve players. And basically he's admitting, I think, that he can't do that. I can't improve players. That's not what I'm about. That's not what I do. You give me ready-made players that other people have coached and made world-class, and then I'll tell them the structure that they need to play in as a team.
Right.
If 15 million a year for that, I'll do it for 10.
I honestly think you could get ChatGPT to do it. Like, or you can get an AI system to
it's
go.
It's a joke.
What are the players' strengths by stat? What's the opposition's weaknesses by stat? He's an 11 for you that will beat that team.
Ferguson wasn't a coach, was he? Ferguson, by last, I don't know why I keep talking about Ferguson, but the last 10 years didn't used to go on the training pitch. No. But he was surrounded by coaches that were coaching the players. Who is coaching those players? They're not coaching them to be better players. They're coaching them how to play in a system. And he's complaining that they're not good enough players to play in that system. Yeah. Well, improve them then. That's why we're paying you 15 million a year. That's what you're there for.
Change your fucking system.
What other walk of life, what other business in the world that we live in, or any other business that you work in, would you go and pay someone 15 million a year, make them the third highest paid person at what they do globally, and they would be someone that couldn't improve the people that work underneath them week on week, month on month, year on year? You're basically paying them to demand that people follow a system that they demand. And if you're not good enough to be in my system, then you can go. And I demand then that the club spends even more money to give me allegedly ready-made, better play. Like, get out of my club, mate.
I just want the season to end now.
I want it to end. I want it to end because I love them. Yeah, I know. It's weird, isn't it?
I was thinking, you know, that last home game of the season where all the players come out and do that round, like, that is going to be such a weird atmosphere, right?
I'll be gone. Early bath for me, but I'll be out. I'll get the Northumberland Park train back to Chesson. I'm out. No way I'm staying for that.
Oh, it's such a sad thing, isn't it? Like, you go that high from leaving that ground when we just beat Man United 2-1, not lost the game at home. Poch looking at that rainbow, like the Go Compare man singing Glory, Glory, Tottenham Hotspur. Like, now you're going home early because it's a shit show.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I live near Maidstone. Maybe we can Let's find out what a ex-Maidstone manager once said about Maidstone, and we'll do a podcast about that.
I mean, I'm going to change the subject completely. The
yep.
The Papu Gomez stuff for Lo Celso. Have you seen this with the witch doctor?
No.
So Papu Gomez, who Alejandro Gomez went to the World Cup with Argentina, won the World Cup, but he had paid the witch doctor before the World Cup to slow down Lo Celso's recovery so he could keep his place. So now they're playing some like exhibition friendly celebratory matches in Argentina. He's not invited.
It's like the new Glenn Hoddle.
Oh, God. Absolute madness.
And the other thing I saw this week that I absolutely loved, I'm sure it's been really, it's done the rounds, really popular, but Paddy Power.
Oh, that was brilliant, wasn't it?
Have done, other betting companies are available. Did a video with expert Hoddle, Joe Francis, Teddy Sheringham, asking them who they support, and sort of they all put on Mancunian accents and said they support Man City.
It's like when Perry comes back from in Manchester. All right, kid.
Oh dear, they're going to win the league. It is great. It is great, especially because I think it does tragically look like they're going to win the league.
Well, do you know, I've been watching a bit of Haaland recently, and as amazing as he is, like physically, he's a monster. He just is at the perfect place all the time. Now, maybe because City put so many shots on goal that there's always balls rebounded, but he just seems to be in the perfect place. Well, I've never seen anyone like it like that. Maybe Van Nistelrooy.
Yeah.
But, you know, because very few of his goals from outside the box. What a player he is.
Is he on 44 now for the season? 43?
243. Whatever. I mean, whatever it is, he's...
No, he can't be on that many. He must be on... He can't be on that many. He must be on for the season.
Yeah, all competitions, yeah.
So he might score 60 goals this year.
I can see it. Because he went quiet for a little bit, and now he's just scored two hat-tricks this week.
Wow. Kane won't be able to keep pace with him.
No way.
Even if he 42. Goes to... He's on 42 goals. Yeah,
42 in 37.
He's going to score... If they go long in the Champions League, you could see him scoring 60 goals this year.
But there's that thing, he's going to have to score 38 a season for 16 seasons just to match Ronaldo. Like, and that really puts into perspective what Ronaldo's doing. But he's a good player, that man. Anyway, who have we got next? This is the thing, but before I know the next 10 fixtures and I could remember the last 10, I could remember everything, every goal we've scored. I can barely remember any goals that we've scored. I remember...
scored many.
Well, when you were talking about that 30-minute video earlier, I was thinking, what would you take from the last few seasons? And it would be the Puskás Awards goals. And there hasn't been a huge amount of glory. Like that, the Lucas Moura goal against Barcelona was amazing. You know, to make us draw, to take us through, and obviously Ajax and Amsterdam, but there hasn't been many glorious moments recently, which is...
Also, what connections are you... I don't know, I'm in my 40s, so maybe there are loads of people, like I was 20 years ago, 25 years ago, that are in their late teens, early 20s, that are still going up on the train, like meeting up with the lads beforehand or their mates beforehand or as a group of them beforehand or whatever. I mean, I was meeting up with a group of lads, but, you know, it's not about following my example. And I'm building those friendships and those connections. Maybe people are doing that now and I just don't see it. But if they are, I don't know how they're doing it. I don't know how they afford it. To your point, that video 10 years from now, because the video is about the success of the team and the amazing goals, but it's about so much more than that. And that club is about so much more than that. And, you know, doing a skywalk and having the best stadium.
The theme music we use, right? It's about the billow of the net, the free kick. It's not anymore.
It's really not. It's about the fact that I still get excited that my beer fills up from the bottom up. I love that.
No, it really is.
I love that. And to your point, I love a flag. Yeah, every now and then you get a free flag, don't you? But I never, every time, if ever I take anyone with me to the game, if they have one of my tickets, I always make a point of saying, oh, look at the beer. Look at that. Look, it feels up from the bottom.
Yeah, the longest bar in Europe, this one. Look how many escalators it's got.
Yeah.
He says all the way around.
That is a single piece of glass, that South Stand.
I was in the Millennium Stadium the other week. And for me, the Millennium is still the peak of the new. And I know it's not new because it's 23 years old, but it's still the peak of the new stadiums. Because all you do is, like, you go in and you're just... Again, you're just at your seat. There's food and drink, but it reminds me of White Hart Lane, where you go in, concrete corridor, seat. That's it.
Especially when they close the roof, it's amazing, isn't it?
That's incredible. And what they also did there with the one end, you can always see one end is smaller, and that's because all they did was take from the Arms Park, they took the stand, they turned it around and made it part of that. So that stand is part of the old Arms, the Cardiff Arms Park. They could have done something like that with Spurs. I don't know. They should have done something like that. They've got a lot to do because there's a lot of the foundations of why you support Spurs that are crumbling a little bit. And it's not just the Conte thing. It's a Nuno thing. Nuno took, what, 5 months to happen?
Yep.
You know, but there is power in the fans, like you said earlier, because when what was the example you gave earlier? Oh, the Super League. Gattuso. Yep. Gattuso really almost came to the club.
And the fans stopped that, thank goodness.
And the fans stopped that. So there must be something we can do about this shit show.
I mean, I don't think it's about not going to the games. Because I think it's 2%, isn't it? 1 or 2% of their annual revenue or something. Like, it's not, I mean, shirt sales and things would be different. But they do react when they lose the board. They do. I mean, they fired Nuno when they lost the board, when the fans turned against him, didn't they? They do react. And it's not about turning on Conte, making top four, like buy fucking loads of players in the summer. It's not about that. It's not about that. I think they need better players. I think we need a manager that actually values the opportunity to be at the club for other things than financial and personal gain reasons. Wants to, you know, feels a connection to the club in the way clearly that Pochettino did, at least for the beginning to middle point when he was there. That loves them in the way that Klopp talks about Liverpool or etc. But it's not about that. It's about reconnecting with why people are bothering at all.
We've got 2 weeks off now. Our next game is on the 3rd of April.
Everton away, right?
Everton away. He's in Italy now. He caught someone saw him at an airport today. He's back in Italy with his family. Hopefully we can just get it out of our systems. And Everton, big game. I mean, they need all the points they can get. We should be beating them, but who knows? They're my favourite other Premier League club, if you can have one of them. They're not safe. And we are mathematically safe now, by the way, as of this week.
Yeah.
Which is good news. I mean, Everton really aren't safe. They are within 2 points of the relegation zone. They've only won 6 games all season. Goal difference minus 18, which is pretty shocking.
It's a massive month, though, isn't it, ASD, when you look at it? I mean, if anyone is interested if they make top four or not, but they've then got Brighton at home, which would be an interesting game, really big game. Then they've got Bournemouth at home, and then they've got the three, you know, what I still can't not get excited about games that are must-win games, three really excited games. Sunday 23rd, Newcastle away. Thursday 27th, United at home. What a game that's going to be under lights. Looking forward to that. And then 30th of April away at Liverpool, where we've, you know, literally their record there is almost as good as my record in nightclubs. Mm. So horrific.
Bet you we win against United.
Yeah.
But I will bet you that we lose to Brighton and beat United.
Yeah, I think Newcastle might be a draw. I can see him getting a draw up there. Just trying to shut the game out.
Yeah.
And then Liverpool. I mean, I think Liverpool are shit this season, aren't they? But you can just you never know, do you?
And
you just never know.
Someone coming off the bench that hasn't played in ages, or Harvey Elliott or someone like that, won't it, that scores. Yeah. It won't be Salah or anyone, or something.
Yeah. But, you know, come on. Come on, lads. Like, let's get up there and let's get through April and it'd be nice to play Champions League football next season. I think I sent you a message. I was when I went to the Milan debacle. Despite the game, it never fails to make the hairs on the back of your neck stand up when that music plays and they fluff that massive paper football up and down on the centre circle, whatever the fuck it is. And it'd be great. It would be great to make top four. So come on, let's hope. I hope that they do it, and then we can go into the summer and see what's what.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a good idea. We need, if anyone listening has got anything they want us to talk about next week, we'll talk about anything at _ Echoes of Glory. I think it's echoesofglorypod@gmail.com, but I'm also at tweetspot.asd, so just give me a shout. Otherwise, I'll just come up with loads and loads of play bench arrays or Maldini or Rodons because I miss those games.
We could talk about the best non-football sporting events that you've ever seen in a stadium.
That is a great shout.
And mine would be at the Millennium. Well, I've got
you
several.
You can't do it now.
No, no, but I've got several. Just to get us started so we can think about what we would do, because I've got loads.
Go on.
One of mine would be Millennium Stadium, Joe Calzaghe v. Khan.
No, he didn't
when
fight
he,
Khan.
When he got in, Khan got injured, I think.
He didn't fight Khan.
He did. It was a Joe Calzaghe fight, for sure.
Was it? There was Peter Manfredo Jr. He fought the Millennium.
And it went off big time. It was great.
So I'm a huge... I think he's the greatest British boxer of all time.
I'm going to have to look it up now. See who he was
fighting. Mikhail Kessler? He was at the stadium.
It might have been.
Because that was a great fight.
In full transparency, it's possible I may have had 3 or 4 lagers.
Yeah, yeah. The fight versus Kessler is... Because Kessler is a great fighter. I mean, I could talk about Joe Calzaghe fighting all the time. My dad has met him multiple times, getting stuff signed for me in like HMV. He just says he's the nicest man you've ever met. Because he's just a Valleys boy.
It was Kessler. Anyway, the fight I vaguely remember. What I definitely remember was the atmosphere.
It's a great fight.
Absolutely. Went off. So yeah, the best sporting events you've seen in a stadium that are not football related. We could spend 10 minutes talking about that.
That is great. All right, we'll get on that.
And not Antonio Conte. I don't want to talk about him. Maybe again.
No. All right, we'll do that. Do you know what? I was thinking about what we're going to talk about, and we talked last week about what he would have to do to make me want him in. And there's a little bit which I thought, when he came out and said that, like, that level of honesty shouldn't have been there, should have been in like a supporters trust meeting or something like that. That level of honesty gets him far closer than just moaning about investment and stuff like that. But anyways, mate, thank you for your time. It's Mother's. We're recording on Mother's Day.
So Mother's Day, yep.
You should go see your wife. I don't know why. Thank you for your time. It's always good to see it, get through it, see it out. Because we're all feeling the same thing. There's a mad bunch of people. The battle seems to be, are you Conte or Levy out, or both or none? But there's a bit of unrest at the moment, but it's good to chat.
We'll all be here when both of them are out.
We'll be here in 20 years. That's the thing. Yeah. We'll be reminiscing about the wetsuit kit going, oh, do you remember the wetsuit kit? You know, we'll be on classicfootballkits.co.uk going, I'm going to pay £80 for that thing now. But thank you. And don't forget, whatever happens, the future's bright. The future's really white. Come on, you Spurs.
I always thought there was very, very many people interested in football, and I always thought that football was a very important game, but I never realized until today just how important it is.
Whether the Wonder Boys of White Hart Lane are or are not the team of the century can't possibly be more than a matter of opinion.
Well, they're the finest team in Great Britain and one of the best in the world.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur. The curve of the ball, the billow of the net, the beating of the trap and the picking of the lock, the swiftness of thought, the lightness of touch. We are Ginola, Greaves, Klinsmann. We are the collective gasp, the intake of breath, the flick, the trick, the 30-yard free kick. We are Hoddle, Mabbott and King. We are the lob, the chip, the dummy and the volley. We are the hat-trick, the scissor kick, we are Bill Nick.
That is schoolboy's own stuff.
We are the outside of the boot, the inside of the net, and those seconds that last forever.
Van der Vaart to level it up. Rafael van der Vaart, 2-2. It's quite a game, isn't it always?
We are Jennings, Defoe and Perryman. Glory past, glory future. What was, what is, what's next? We are Blanchflower, Ardiles and Bale. We are about winning with a flourish. We are about winning with style. We are about the glory of the game. Daring to try, daring to risk, daring to dream. To dare is to do.
Tottenham